It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. It's Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick, and I have Sharon Jackson in captain chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
my sous chef.
Yeah, put a little extra on the end of that, but I think I'm going to change that up.
The open. Yeah. The open? You want to change it a little bit?
Yeah, I want to change it a little. Just a little more music.
I just like to be that shining star, though.
Yeah, Sharon. You are that shining star.
Oh, I got a shinier star here in the studio with us.
That's much awesome. Sunnier. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. So how's things going, Sharon?
Things are good. I'm so happy that things are opening up again.
Oh, everything's opening up.
It's nice. You know, I love it.
But you know what's not opening up?
What?
Is the traffic around this area.
Oh, I know.
It's terrible.
It's getting worse.
I see Blake's shaking his head with us. It's just terrible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is. It's a project now.
Everything's a project. I think they just unloaded a bunch of money everywhere, and like everyone's doing all these small little projects.
It's such a project. I think someone took our speedboat.
How are we going to get to visit Blake Shelton, Chef Blake?
They took our speedboat.
To Black
Wait
Rose
a minute.
Space. You find
Maybe,
it?
It, might
it
be.
Was just docked right
outside the
back. Oh,
you know what? I think we might have it now.
What, did it float back to us?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Because why? The weather's just nasty.
It is nasty. You know, there's not all day for like the next 5 days or so, or maybe 3 or 4 days, that there's not rain or a chance of rain.
I know. It was in last week.
I mean, I kind of like it, but I kind
of
don't.
I'm tired of it. You know what? It just makes the grass grow, and that means I got to cut the grass. Well, I don't. My wife Karen does, but I got to watch her.
Karen, she's a keeper.
She's the
Karen
best.
Karen is a good one, man.
She's the best.
You got to bring her in here sometime. We got to meet her.
Yes. So, folks,
stud muffin.
Folks, we got an exciting hour coming up. I got an electrifying guy here. His name is Blake Shelton, and we're going to visit him. Sharon's going to pull the motor and get speedboat going, and we're going to visit him. He's got Black Rose Pastries. It's located in Gary, and I don't know if we could take the Turkey Creek, the Calumet River, or just the floods that are all over the place. We'll just hop the boat from one place to the other. You found some water.
Yeah. What do I do? Get in.
I got it. Okay.
Good job.
I didn't get my shoes wet, at least. Last time I got my shoes wet, and I got, you know, a little bit of
Isn't it funny
cold.
How when you turn on the engine, these things kind of rise up out of the water a little bit?
You know, it's more
it's
than a boat.
Feeling.
I think it's almost like a hovercraft. That's why we're able
That's
to
what it feels like.
Go down Broadway and not have too much water and jump over on Turkey Creek. And
little Calumet River.
Here we go. And
the
we're
Grand
right there.
Calumet.
You know what? I can see Blake in the horizon. You see him?
Get this thing up to speed.
I mean, the guy's a handsome man. You got to see him like a mile away. He's got a big smile on him, too. Are we there yet?
No.
Almost?
Getting close. Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
Oh, gosh. Sharon, you drive pretty good.
Yeah, that was a little choppy, but thank you.
Yeah, very nice job.
Thank you.
So, folks, I want to introduce you to Chef Blake Shelton. He's the chef of Black Rose Pastries over in Gary, Indiana, right down the street. And we want you to call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and get a chance to get a gift card from Black Rose Pastries out of Gary. And I want to introduce Blake Shelton. Hi, Blake.
Hey, how's it going?
How's your day been so far?
It has been quite a busy day, actually.
For being gloomy?
Well, for being gloomy, you know, the world is opening back up. It's the weekend, kind of, or the start of my week. That's how I like to see it. But, yeah, it's been really, really, really
so
good.
So everyone else's week is winding down.
Yeah.
But in the food industry, in the bakery industry, it's like winding up.
In the bakery industry, the ovens are firing up. It is time to start baking, mixing, and getting ready for those dishes to be everywhere. So, yeah.
So it's like Friday's your Monday.
Thursday is my Monday.
Oh, Thursday is your Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Friday is my Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Chef Blake is the sugar artist, and if folks, if you want to see some of his work, and he's got some, I mean, fantastic work online, tell us a couple of websites or how they can see some of your work.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely you can go visit blackrosepastries.com and check out the gallery section and check out some of my work. You can also follow some of the social media, whether you have Instagram, Pinterest, whatever, Facebook at Black Rose Pastries or at Chef Blake, C-H-E-F-B-L-A-Q-U-E.
Yeah, and yeah, we were, it's a different way to spell him, Blake, but he put a little long...
I get a, like, accent. You know, yeah, I like to call it character.
A character,
yeah,
over
put
the top.
A, I put some character
in my name. A little
exotica
in there,
yeah,
or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Blake, why don't you give us a little bit about your background? How you started, where you went to school, things like that.
For sure. So what's interesting is that I actually had to drop out of culinary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you go to culinary school?
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, you know what? I thought I was sorry to hear that too, but then it turned out to be like, it was actually for the best.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I started in 2006 at Le Cordon Bleu, Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, baking and patisserie program. I got the chance to take a couple classes there. Shout out to my chefs that I still keep in touch with. I love those ladies. They, Chef Binsky, you know, she knows exactly who she is. Mm-hmm. I love her so much. She introduced me to coffee, by the way. And now I'm like addicted. Yeah,
too,
so maybe I can blame her for like my coffee addiction,
right,
by the way.
I got to blame somebody too.
Yeah. But yeah, so I started there. I was only able to take a few classes, like sanitation, introduced to bacon. And then I was blessed with a son. He entered this world, and it was either go to school or get a job to take care of the son.
Uh-huh.
Because classes, baking classes started at 6 a.m.
Right.
You know, we got out around 2:30. I would have to go work at, I was working for Marshall Fields at the time as a line cook in the walnut room.
Mm-hmm.
And so from 4:30 to like 2 a.m., I was working and then catching the train home to go be with my son, but still had to be back at school at 6. So it was kind of problematic. So, you know, I needed to be able to afford to live,
mm-hmm.
so I had to quit school.
Right.
Yeah, but I always knew I wanted to keep going, so I just positioned myself in places and in different career fields so that I could learn what I needed to learn
mm-hmm.
while making money, because I saw that that's what other people were doing.
Well, why bakery? Why baking?
What's interesting, you know, growing up, my family always cooked, always. Always. Everybody, you know, every holiday meal, we have like 16 courses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to the grocery store and get like the pie, the cake, the cookies, and everything else. And it just wasn't the same quality. And I always thought, why nobody wants to do that? And it was a science thing.
No,
right?
You know, bakery, I've said this before, baking is more of a science
yes,
than cooking.
It is.
Cooking, you can wing it. You know, if it's a little whatever, you can add a little, you know, make it a little saltier, not saltier, more
mm-hmm.
liquid. But baking, if you put too much salt, you kill the yeast.
Exactly.
Or any other thing like
that. Yeah, there's a lot of different compositions as it relates to baking. A lot of principles to kind of take in. And that stuff intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that before I was baking, like I used to do like programming. Like competitively, right?
Oh, really?
Writing like Java and JSTL and like doing a whole bunch of, let's just say, academic-based things.
Okay.
That wasn't necessarily involved with cooking. Even graphics design, I used to do that as well, too. But I don't know, something about baking just kind of made me like hone my focus, right? It just kind of made me centralize. And now I could relate to my family
mm-hmm.
because they're cooking, you know, I can cook. I cook every day,
mm-hmm.
you know. But everybody can cook, I think.
Yeah.
But it takes a special person to bake something.
Yeah, because bakery is like a science.
It is.
And I think when somebody bakes, when you take a ball of dough that's only a few inches big
mm-hmm.
and it's nothing, and you throw it in the oven and it becomes beautiful.
Yes.
And it's just amazing. Cake, same thing. You got this batter. What's batter? It looks like mud.
Yeah, it does. It looks like mud.
And then you bake it and it becomes
heaven.
Right. It's crazy how baking is just so much more gratifying
mm-hmm.
than cooking. When I cook, I think the gratifying part is more like I see you eat it, you smile, thumbs up.
Yeah.
Baking, you can see what you've just produced and how cool it is. And you've done some really cool stuff.
Thank you. It's really a transformational process. So I'm here for it. I love baking. I think I'm starting to love the decorating a lot more, too, because now I get to express my creativity. Mm-hmm. I get to do my artistic flair.
So have you ever taken a formal cake decorating course?
Yes. So I took my first formal cake decorating
course. I mean, the only
course.
Thing I can make is a star tip, but go ahead. And okay. maybe a sweet pea. That's about it.
Okay. Oh, look, a sweet pea. Oh, look at you. Not the sugar flower sweet pea.
Mm. So you guys will have to break this down because I don't know. A star tip, is that the thing you squish out of
the
pastry bag?
But you did take some formal?
Yeah, so I took some, but this was probably, I think my first formal cake decorating course was probably 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So mostly self-taught. And I like to say that because I didn't have that ability to be able to go to school and take all those courses.
Right.
So, you know, I positioned myself in those careers. I became a flight attendant in order to develop my flavor profile.
You became a flight attendant?
To develop my flavor profile.
That's crazy.
Yes, right? And I traveled for a year with my son going to different areas so that I can taste what that market
is. So you used being a flight attendant to enhance your culinary bakery profile.
Absolutely. Maintain that network and then got introduced because I'm always a person of law of attraction, right? So I was like, hey, I know I'm not ready to open up a physical bakery location. This was in like 2000 and like maybe 9 or 10. I was like, I know I'm not ready, but I'm going to go look at properties.
Right.
So I did. And I started to meet people. And one time I went to go meet a property developer in Griffith, Indiana, and his assistant happened to be the U.S. representative for Cake Masters magazine.
Oh wow! That's just something that just happened.
Yeah, like it was just something that just happened, and then I'm like, you know, everybody makes cakes. At this point, I had increase my skill set. But I'm like, everybody makes cakes. Everybody's a baker, right?
Right.
You know, when you say bake something, oh, yeah, I bake. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, but do you, like, bake? Are you, like, a TV baker? Are you, like, a grandma baker? Are you, like, an at-home baker?
Or you get it out of box.
Exactly. So, and when I found out the level of work she was, that she produced, I just had to meet her. We kind of connected. And the next thing you know, I got all these patches all over my jacket.
Well, you know what? Folks,
just tell us what they mean.
Yeah, why don't you tell us, real quick, folks, you need to call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and we need you to pose a question to our Bake Shelton here, our chef, our bakery chef, and see if you can stump him. And if you can or not, he's still going to send you a gift card.
So tell us
about some of those patches you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they look cool. And you know what? If you go on our Facebook, Brian took pictures of us and all the patches you offer. We actually got a celebrity in here.
Thank you.
Seeing what is that Food Network?
Thank you. Oh yeah. So that's a top patch. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Wow. So Food Network. Look, my chair is playing with me. So Food Network. I've competed 4 times on Food Network.
Oh really? In what category? Like, what did you do?
So baking competitions and decorating competitions. Yeah. So I have. I've done Macy's Thanksgiving Cake Spectacular, where we recreate a float essentially into cake. And ours was like a smaller version of a float. So it was only like 4 foot wide by like 6 foot.
It's still a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like nothing, right? So,
a 4 foot wide cake?
Yeah. 6 foot? It was a scene. And we created Elf on a Shelf. Yeah, Elf on a Shelf. So, except we kind of gave it a twist, right? He was helping Santa at the North Pole and he was running late, so he hopped on his pet reindeer and dashed through the North Pole. So you see him riding his pet reindeer with the elf hands flinking back in like these massive trees that are made of cake. And like these little bunny rabbits that are made of chocolate and that are sculpted out of chocolate.
Wow.
And this was on TV?
How long did it take to put something like that together?
We only get 6 hours.
Okay. Is that baking the cake and everything?
No. So you get a little bit of extra prep time of baking the cake, depending on the competition.
Right.
So I've done the Big Bake on Food Network.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah. So I created like Abominable Snowman shredding his friends, his penguin friends, as he came down like the hill with like this fox coming out of a hole, where I got to meet like Duff from Easy Cakes and Eddie Spence and a whole bunch of amazing other people.
That Abominable Snowman something that would scare children?
No, because of the facial expression.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So we had the tongue sticking out. So there was like, the tongue's like flowing in the wind as he's going down. So it's having so much fun. But it's just like, you know, But and this guy was taller than I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
So, you know, that was quite the feat.
Was there any kind of prize or did you compete?
Yeah.
Did you place or anything?
Yeah. So the first one, I won the first round, Cake Pops, Sculpted Cake Pops, where I created, like, it's so interesting because we had, I believe it was an hour, to bake the cake and sculpt and decorate, present like a cake pop for the cake boss, you know, and for I think it was the executive for Macy's. And I came in first place in that round.
Wow.
Yeah, which kind of gave us the advantage, which, you know, which was like getting extra help from the celebrity cake artist, which is one of my close friends now. So,
that's,
you know,
cool.
Yeah.
Who's your close friend?
Oh, Timbo Sullivan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah. So he's in a, he's a, I think, 6-time Food Network winner or champion.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So cool. It's 4 or 6. I think he competed 6 times, maybe 1-4. But I know he's absolutely amazing. Creates. He's on the new show now, Baketopia, if you watch it on HBO. Yeah. So he does like a judging thing there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let me, before we go on to more, how, when you get into that, how are the nerves? Because it doesn't matter how many years you did it. I don't care how many shows I do. Mm-hmm. Not that I get nervous, but I never feel like I'm going to do a good show.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's nervous.
You know, so
the first few minutes.
Yeah. So Sharon knows me, but so how is that? I mean, do you get all nervous and then like anything else? Because I've done, you know, you do things, and then once you get into it, it's like, hey, we're all just bakers. We're all just. Is that how it kind of rolls?
Yeah. You know, it depends. So there's definitely a lot of nervousness involved, but. You have to psych yourself out, right? So you have to, and it's not even about necessarily tricking yourself, but it's about, hey, look, I got on this show, right? So that is the first win, right?
Right.
That you got there. And by doing that, you can't, even by like verbally saying, hey, look, I got on this show, you reassure yourself subconsciously that it's okay, like you're here, that if you mess up, one, they don't want you to mess up, right? Because their TV show is going to suck.
Right.
And then if you mess up, it's still okay because you got here. Uh-huh. And this expectation of perfection doesn't have to be like, it's, you don't have to put that much pressure on yourself. But I do get really, really, really nervous. And then like on the shows, like you might see me drop things a lot. Uh-huh. It's because I get really nervous, and then my hands just like, and I just let go of stuff. I don't know why.
Let me ask you this. So they say 1 hour to do something. You got, and I've always wondered. They got the clock going, and they're saying 3 minutes, 2 minutes. When they say stop, does that really mean stop?
That means stop. That means that you're done. Stop
no matter what.
I thought
that was just like
no,
because
like,
everyone seems to be done when they say that. But
it's almost like when you're taking a test and they say, "Okay, pencils down."
Yeah. You know? It's interesting because you screen before you go through all these processes before you get there anyway,
uh-huh.
Right? So you have to go through all these interview stages, and they do all this research on you anyway to see what your essential aptitude is, uh-huh. Without telling you that. And then when you get there, they don't set you up for failure. You need to be realistic, and the producers will come out and be like, you need to make a change because you only have 1 hour.
I see.
Like, they will come out and tell you that, like, because they don't want you to look bad. But at the end of your 1 hour,
you got to stop.
It is what it is.
You have, like, produce something.
They want you to look good.
Have a product to show. Mm-hmm.
But it's funny on TV how it's like every scrambling, 1 minute, this and that. I'm like, wait, these guys got all this to do. But when they say stop, everyone seems to be done anyways.
Do you want
to
have your own show eventually, then?
Oh, my goodness. I would love my own show. I've actually started a YouTube channel. Bakeology at Baking with Blake. Yeah. So you can come and join me as I teach you guys all these baking tricks and tips and decorating tips. So.
You have very, very, very beginner classes.
I do. I teach you how to.
Sure.
I teach you everything from how to crack the egg to how to make sure to mix the egg.
Yeah,
I can crack an egg. Yep. I didn't say anything.
Well, we got to get you to advance the one hand cracking down.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can crack an egg is just with one hand.
Yeah, really? It's kind of weird.
I can't do the two. I got to go like this and crack it. Mm-hmm. So how about the Netflix, the Sugar Rush winner?
Oh, Netflix. Oh,
that's one of my favorite stations.
I love that. So a couple years ago, I got to go on.
He's got a patch on his arm.
I know. I saw the Netflix patch. And then the bottom one is what?
Oh, this one is Ice and Images. Yeah. So I'm a brand ambassador.
On the other sleeve as well?
Not on this jacket.
We're working on that other sleeve.
Well, because this is a newer jacket. So Cakewear gave me this jacket.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I couldn't get a patch there.
Wait, next time you come in, I want both.
Okay. So oh, I just wear my other jacket that is full sleeve with patches all down.
Yeah, next time we're going to do it when your Steel City Bakery opens.
I didn't realize that patches was a thing in cooking. Like, you get
it's
patches?
It's like, what is it, motocross or something in sports? Like, I want my chef coat to look like I've been sponsored
by everybody.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Oh,
okay. So tell us about the next Netflix, Sugar Rush.
Yeah, so I got the opportunity to compete with my friend, the assistant for the realtor, Patty Stovall, who was the editor of Cake Masters magazine at the time. We applied to Netflix Sugar Rush. And we competed three different rounds. It's a total 6-hour competition, like real live competition. Time does not stop. Mm-hmm. And you have three rounds to create a cupcake confection, a cookie, and then a sculpted cake. The third round is essentially a banking of whatever time you have left from rounds one and two.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went, I competed. Adriana Zumbo, Candace Nelson, the owner of Sprinkles, Betsy Johnson, if you guys know her, and Hunter March, they host the show and are judges. And when I tell you that I was so nervous, it was crazy, but we kicked butt, if I must say. A lot of great competition, but rounds one, round two, the objective was to be finished first, save some time. And when we got to our sculpted cake round three, we had almost 4 hours left in the competition.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And how many people were you competing against?
It's a total of four teams of two. So, yeah, it was six other people that were competing. In each round, the premise is that once you finish your cupcake and your cupcake round one, you hit your buzzer and then the judges come and judge you. But the clock is still going, so, like, the clock never stops. And you could be eliminated after everybody else finishes round one, even if you're about to finish your round two.
I see.
Yeah, so you don't know if you made it. So you could be eliminated right when you're about to present to the judges for round two because you had the worst of round one. And then if you save that time, you add it total to your sculpted cake time.
You guys ever eat any of that stuff?
It was so good, man.
I mean, you make all this art and then you got to cut into it. That's kind of tough.
It is. But it's so satisfying, right? To see that, especially when the client cuts into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, so we made Betsy Johnson. My favorite thing about Netflix Sugar Rush and being able to win, and we walked away with $10,000.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. That's really great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, congratulations.
So how do you stay thin doing all this sugar?
You know, I mean, we sell keto stuff too. But
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we work. You know, it's about working out and maintaining balance, right? Mm-hmm. So I get up, I work out, I drink water. But I drink water knowing that I'm going to eat my 4 or 5 cookies, you know? And I'm going to work out because I know that I might have a slice of cake too.
So, okay. who the last one, the
Icing Images. Yes.
Your representative?
Yeah, well, not a representative, but more so like a brand ambassador.
Okay.
So you can't call me and order it, but I do kind of demonstrate the product. And so if you work with like Cricuts and Silhouettes for edible cutting or edible printing and edible wafer paper, rice paper.
When they do the scanning and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Then I teach you how to do that.
The layovers and.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when kids have a birthday cake and you see Barney on there.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you do.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Welcome back, Northwest Indiana. We have a great breaker here. He's a chef, Chef Blake Shelton. He's from Black Rose Pastries out of Gary. And we've been talking about him and some of the adventures he's had, the winnings, the patches going on Food Network and Netflix and things like that. But what we need to talk about is what he really does. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
So how many years have you had this Black Rose pastries?
Oh my goodness. I've had Black Rose pastries for about 14 years now.
Really?
Yes.
So how long have you had like a storefront? Have you had a solid storefront?
So what's interesting is that we actually opened up and operated in other business avenues and under different umbrellas and names. But Black Rose Pastries in itself mostly does wholesale and custom cakes and sculpted cakes and custom orders that you order online. We do believe in partnering with local commercial spaces like the Art House in Gary or the other commercial space, the Culinary Masterpiece in Crown Point, to operate out of those facilities as well. But I'm excited to say that this fall, we have our own building being constructed. So I'm super excited about it.
I am too, because you're going to come back and tell us about it in the fall too.
So tell us about that. Yes, is that in Gary?
Yes, that's going to be in Gary.
Address?
Yes.
Everything.
Okay, in Gary, we're coming a part of the Harvest Square Strip Mall. The mall is being built, so it's going to be 824 Lake Street through 850.
Miller? Yeah. I grew up over there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So then you know whether Dollar Tree and Dollar General. Not Dollar Tree.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then Walgreens. It's literally right there. So beyond, I believe it's beyond Four Walls Christian Center is there. Mm-hmm. And then in that vacant spot before you get to the construction company, that is going to be the new strip mall.
Really? Yeah. So right now what you do is, you don't have a solid storefront. So if I wanted to do something, I would have to make an appointment. How do I get a hold of you if I wanted something to be done?
Absolutely.
And not just a butter cookie.
Okay. Not just a butter cookie. Cool. In order to get a hold of me, you can call us like you would any normal bakery at 260-758-0487 in order to place an order. You could message us on social media at Black Rose Pastries. You also can just send us an email at info@blackrosepastries.com or just go to the website and place the order.
Now, how do we, you know, how these brides are, they want to taste everything. How do you do tastings?
We absolutely. So just like your conventional bakery, we do tastings as well. We do two types of tastings. In person, because the world is opening back up, where we will meet a client either at the commercial space that we've scheduled a time for, or we do virtual tastings where we do an actual drop-off of the tasting kit, and then we do a Zoom call or a Skype call in order to talk about what it is that you are looking for your event.
But you don't have like a place where you can just walk into.
No.
Everything. No. You work out a commercial kitchen and do everything
you're
doing.
So we encourage people. I always encourage, if you know that you're having an upcoming event, please do reach out. But we do like to have at least a week in advance notice for custom orders. If there's something for a wedding cake, then plan accordingly with the wedding planner. But if you know in advance, definitely at least a week so we can schedule out that workload in the commercial space.
So tell us what you brought in.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So I brought in some goodies.
Yeah, they were good.
Yes. Thank you. They were very good.
Thank you so much. I brought in some lemon. So there's a lemon vanilla cupcake.
That's what I like.
I tried that. And I tried the strawberry one.
Yeah, the strawberry one. Oh, my goodness. The strawberry one is one of the super most popular ones. It's a strawberry cupcake filled with like a... like this strawberry jam that we create or strawberry preserve, and then we just add fresh strawberries to it. And, you know,
it's good
with our special, you know, buttercream icing. And that lemon one, you know,
I love the lemon one.
We go extra.
I was going to actually eat it with my Grecian chicken, but
we zest the lemon over it.
Yeah, it's good. Really, you can tell.
Yeah, cool. No waste, right? No, why are we wasting it?
Right.
No waste. Did,
you know, you said you kind of got out of the culinary school. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but do you feel like hands-on, traveling around, looking at places, tasting things, working with different chefs, you learn more?
I will say yes. This is why I will say yes, right? So in culinary school, you learn all of the technical things, right, in traditional formatted ways. And then it's up to you to interpret that once you graduate, or once you kind of spread your wings and enter into the other kitchen. The advantage of having experiential learning when you go work with other chefs and travel is that you get OJT, on-the-job training, mm-hmm. right? Everything that's happening right now, you're going to absorb that. The problem with that, if you're not a quick learner, then it may be a problem for you, you know? But right. I always preferred to go out and learn. Now, when I teach travel, you know, I get so many students and people who want to come and learn, and they haven't been to culinary school.
Right.
But they can sculpt a dinosaur once they leave my class.
Right.
Okay. So, well, yeah, it's just that it's different for everybody, and everybody absorbs you know, information differently, and some people learn by doing, and some by reading, and some by talking about it. I mean, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of different ways to learn, and you don't necessarily have to go to school. I mean, obviously, formal education is always a nice idea, but you can also get the same result by going around that and doing it through experiential,
especially,
as you say.
Especially in the food business, because, you know, it's just not like being a, some kind of office work. I mean, when you're in the kitchen, you got things going on. If you haven't worked for someone and you haven't experienced some of the situations, you can't fly by the seat of your pants at all.
Exactly.
You know, when you start working with people and you go in these kitchens, you see this chef going through some stuff, or you see this not working out, and you see how they correct it, and mm-hmm. you see the stress, you know, mm-hmm. so when it happens to you, you don't freak out.
Yeah,
you
kinda, exactly.
Where someone that just has the technical skills at the colleges and they come out, it's like, oh my God, you mean I have to change that fryer?
Right.
Or I have to, you know, they don't catch it.
And in school, you're introduced to the information. It's new to you. You're getting it for the, you know, first time. And mm-hmm. then when you get out there and you do it, you absorb it.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You really,
learn. I went to a culinary school and I've learned so much more just working.
Yeah, because it's time to apply what you actually think you know when you go out there. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of, like, you know,
hands
experiential
on.
Learning.
Hands-on
Come
learning.
Learn, hands-on.
You learn it as Look, you do it.
Folks, if you want to talk
to
Blake, 769-9577, 769-9577. If you've got a wedding coming up or something like that, give us a call. Hey, Blake, since you don't have like a traditional storefront, what do you sell out of? What's your mover to keep you going?
Oh, that's a really great question. So our number one, so we sell a lot of cookies, mm-hmm. a lot of cake jars.
Saw that.
Yeah. So we have cake jars. There's these 16-ounce jars of cake.
and they're already cooked.
Yeah, it's already cooked. You open it. It's in a glass mason jar.
Uh-huh.
If we're thinking about using some other packaging.
Uh-huh.
But I like the idea of the glass mason jar. And you dig in, man. You have a spoon or a fork, and you dig in. It's layers of deliciousness.
So how do people get the product? Other than, you know, like a wedding. A wedding, you're going to go there, you meet them there, you're going to do whatever. But, I mean, like, I want to order a dozen cookies. How do I get the product from you?
Oh, two ways. Well, actually, three ways. We can, if you're ordering and you're not local, we ship it to you.
Okay.
You can't order, like, sculpted cakes. Only, like, cookies, brownies, and small treats that we shipped. Or you can just come and pick it up from the commercial kitchen like you would a normal bakery.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah. So you order it and then schedule your time. Everything just has to be scheduled.
Okay.
So we adhere to people, you know, actually being on a schedule.
Give us the address of the bakery you're at now.
411 East 5th Avenue. That's Art House Gary.
Okay.
Yeah. So 411 East 5th
Now,
are
you
gonna,
once you move to the new place, Steel City Bakery, you got to keep that or that's it?
Steel City Bakery is Steel City Bakery. That's us. Yeah,
right.
That's us.
But you got to still have the place on 5th?
Well, that's the commercial space. So
okay.
No. We're going to transition all of our production out of there.
So, yeah. I see you do pastries. And in my mind, pastries are like puff pastries.
Mm-hmm.
You do stuff like that? Or
yes.
Croissants?
Yeah. We do croissants. At the bakery, we're going to be offering croissants because we don't have that brick and mortar. The freshness of croissants, mm-hmm. we really want to offer it every day. So when Steel City Bakery is open, we introduce our vinoiserie line.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see croissants and bear claws and a lot
Pedophores,
more traditional. Yeah,
things
exactly.
Like that.
So eclairs.
Right.
You'll see donuts, beignets.
Oh, you gotta do donuts too?
I am. Donuts are popping, man.
Yeah, that's a new. So are you going to do a yeast or are you just going with cake?
I'm going to do both.
Really?
I think yeast is preferred,
but
cake.
Oh my God. the intensity of making a yeast donut is something else.
Yeah.
You know? I know, Sherry.
Sorry, I'm sitting here, Blake.
See, Blake. You know, people out there. If you're ever thinking about getting into the culinary arts, cooking or baking, talk, you know, when you call Blake, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's always better to get out there and work at different places. It when is. You're young, work at two different places every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about sticking with one place. When you get older, yeah. that's when you want to gain your roots.
Exactly.
But when you're young, like Blake is, Blake's only like, what, 15 years old? You know, he gets a job he gets four jobs a year because he wants to learn so much. Again, folks, call in 769-9577. We've got a great guest here in Chef Blake Shelton from the Black Rose Pastries. And he'll be opening up Steel City Bakery, and it'll be over in the Miller area.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what the difference. How much more are you going to expand? What are you going to do to make yourself, I mean, just so much different?
You know, Steel City Bakery really is going to encompass the city, right? So I see that there is this gap between youth and employment.
You're right about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the ability to want to, like, do stuff. So my idea here is to inject. And I know somebody's probably going to call in and say something to me about that. But my idea is to inject some urban culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, young energy into it. Like, it's going to be cool. I'm envisioning for Steel City Bakery something that's modern, industrial, right? You're going to come in. It's going to feel like you're in a young place that is super talented.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, young, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so we're going to have custom ice cream. We're going to offer about 18 different ice cream flavors.
Wait. Custom mean like you're actually going to make your own ice cream?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It's something I've been wanting to do.
Always wanted to make ice cream.
You know
how not
to
really
do that? You know how to make ice cream?
I know how to do that. I helped launch two ice cream companies that you probably may have went to.
So are you going to do gelatos, or are you just going to do a basic ice cream?
Yeah, no. These are going to be gelato based because
wow.
I don't like the overrun in regular commercial ice cream.
Yeah, it's all full there.
Yeah. Just give me the good stuff. That way I don't have to eat a lot.
Jared, it's funny to see your face. We've done 200 shows probably together, and you act like you've never heard of any of this stuff.
That's great.
That's why I like talking to these guys like this, especially Blake. I can tell he's like with it. So you could do 18 different ice creams?
Yeah. It'll be easy.
Yeah,
it'll
ice cream's not really hard to make.
Yeah.
It really
especially
isn't.
If you got a great base.
Yeah.
It's about the great base.
It's all about the base.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get it, you just make it, and then you add things to whatever you want to do.
It's all about the base.
You might even do yogurt or custard or stuff
exactly.
like that. That's kind of cool. So you're thinking about, this is what I'm thinking, what you're doing is you're going to bring these young guys in.
I am.
And girls.
And girls.
And you're going to make it where it's like a study place where they can learn.
Yep. Think about a modern day Starbucks, but better.
Yeah,
and
you want to teach them something.
Exactly. So in the back, we'll be having classes because I teach, I travel. I'm certified sugar art instructor.
See, I didn't know there was a such thing as a sugar artist. I thought you just kind of make that
certified,
up.
Certified, he said.
Yeah,
certified.
I'm certified.
Yeah,
I actually went to classes to go get certifications here. And I'm like,
that's
proof
cool.
that I know these different techniques, whether it's like the Lambeth style of royal icing or working with chocolate or sculpting mm-hmm. with pastillage or working with fondant or, you know, so it kind of just depends, you know.
You work with a lot of fondant, don't you?
I do. I work with fondant and modeling chocolate.
Yeah, I noticed that on your cakes. You do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the things I've seen on there, and I've been saying it. I said it to Dee, and I think I told Sharon this, but I saw, and I kept looking at your
like the Instagram profile.
And I kept looking at this photo. I'm like, wait, does he make burgers?
Oh, that is so funny.
And I kept going back and back to it, like, wait, this is
a
bakery.
You said that the cake, it looked like a burger, but it was a cake.
Yes. And fries, too, I think.
Yes, it was a burger.
Tell us about that.
And fries, yes. So it's so funny. I think he was probably here, Stephen Clay mm-hmm. from the Burger House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
he was a good guy.
I found out that he was opening from a Facebook post. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, you need a cake. And I'm going to make you a cake. For your grand opening.
Okay.
Ooh,
right?
Nice.
And then I went there and I'm like, what does your menu look like? Right? So then I said, I'm going to recreate my own version of the burger that people would order on your menu
mm-hmm.
as a cake. So I recreated this sculpted cake and it was essentially sitting on a chopping block. And then there was this cake, layers of cake, this edible wafer paper, which is like potato starch and like rice flour and stuff mixed together to look like the lettuce, buttercream, onions, all of this stuff,
uh-huh.
All sculpted out of cake. And then the fries, you know, fries were made from cereal treats.
Really?
You gotta show me the picture.
Yeah, that sculpted. Yeah. So the fries were made from cereal treats that were sculpted and airbrushed, right? Because I get to be a visual artist. Or
you got quite a little initiative there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make you a cake for your grand opening.
Yeah, and it turned out better than what I was thinking it turned out.
I don't know how many times I looked at that and I was thinking to myself, do I ask him about the burgers he makes?
he told me about that. He said, I saw this picture and I thought it was a burger.
I like to make realistic cakes, right? Yeah. And if you swipe over, you'll be able to see more.
Exactly like a burger.
Here's another. Doesn't it look exactly like a burger?
It looks exactly like a burger.
Where's that on your website?
Yeah, that's on my Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, so that one is on the Instagram at Chef Blake. CHEFBLAQUE.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, if you scroll.
Oh, my God.
If you scroll,
is that crazy?
On
if you
there,
just like. Like, just looked at it. Whoa, sorry. You you would just think it was a hamburger.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, a lot of people think, so I'm sitting on my Instagram, you'll see me eating pancakes, right?
Yeah.
Those aren't pancakes, and that's not bacon. That's a cake, right? This is my Windy City breakfast class. This is actually an intro class, so an introduction class. So if you've never decorated a cake, then this is the class. I'm like, okay, cool. You should take the Windy City breakfast class because I teach you how to stack a cake, how to ice it, how to cover it with fondant, how to paint details, and how to make stuff look like it is something else. Like how to make bacon from potato starch. So that you don't, you could just use real bacon.
No.
But no.
No, the whole point is.
It's better this way.
when you make something, everything needs to be edible.
Showing us a picture that looks like it's a cake that looks like a stack of pancakes with eggs on top.
Yep. Yeah. And then,
fried eggs.
And then just to show you guys, The first time beginners, they're 11.
Let me see.
Yeah, they're 11 years
old. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
So, and they can definitely.
And right now, are you doing classes at your place on 5th?
No.
No, you're just going to wait.
Yeah. So, no, I usually travel around the country at every single, there's these things called Cake and Sweet Expos that are in all of the major cities. They were closed down during the pandemic, but we offered more private, health conscious classes and courses, but they're opening back up and I offer classes there, whether it's in Fort Worth, Texas at the ICES Expo, the International Cake Exploration Society, or whether it's at Atlanta at the Ultimate Sugar Show, or in Miami at SoFlo Cake and Sugar Expo, or at IBIE in Las Vegas. Yeah.
IBIE, what's that?
International Baking and something Expo.
Well, you know, because he said the pandemic, all that stuff was wiped off the slate.
Yeah, it just disappeared.
Yeah. But it was cool to go to the National Restaurant Association show and those kind of things. It's a whole world of its own when you go to these shows.
It is.
So I bet you your favorite time of the year is Christmas.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because isn't baking in that season synonymous?
It is. But I will say, while I'm a Christmas lover and I love all of that baking, I love the artistic baking that comes along with Halloween. Halloween and fall.
Well, Sharon, he's got a cake, and I was going to ask him, is the skull that's on top of the cake a cake, or did you take a piece of styrofoam and just sculpture
or is it an actual skull?
Yeah.
No. So it's actually a chocolate skull. Mm-hmm. So my friend owns a company.
That's good.
Yeah, and she creates these skulls that we can recreate so that we have them as basis for our sculpted cakes that are realistic in proportion. So essentially I used that and molded it out of chocolate and then used edible powders, food color powders, in order to detail it to make it look like an aged skull that's there. And then you just anchor it. So when you're doing the sculpted cakes, and this is a quick kind of deviant, but when you're doing sculpted cakes, you kind of have to be an engineer, right, at first, because you got to know how to build the structure, whether you're working with some type of armature, steel, wire, barb, wood, saws, whatever. And then you have to be a baker, right, in order to get that. And then you have to be a decorator.
Wow.
And then you have to be a logistics person to make sure that it gets to where it needs to be the way that you finished it.
Yeah. Now, how do you do that?
With but a lot of cold weather and prayers. And cross fingers.
Well, you know, when the humidity gets up there and stuff, doesn't it affect on how you bake things?
It does. It really does. Humidity really does affect it. So when you're baking, you try to get into a controlled temperature environment as much as possible. Like, we deliver all of our cakes cold, especially in warmer summer months. Mm-hmm. So it leaves a cold fridge to go to a cold transportation vehicle to hopefully go to a cold or stable environment wherever it's going afterward. And it's always important for us to take a repair kit in case something happens.
A repair kit.
Yeah.
Not for tires either.
That's another whole topic, a repair kit.
For the cake.
Well, what's like a situation where you had to do a major
repair on a
cake or something?
Okay, a couple years ago, I was delivering a wedding cake to the University of Chicago. And we were outside, literally about to pull up to park, and the car cut us off. The three-tier cake, like, and these are double barrels. When I say double barrels, that means that each tier is probably at least 8 inches tall.
Wow.
Yeah, a traditional level is 4 inches. But these are double barrel cakes. The cake flies across the vehicle and hits. Boom.
Really?
So, we're outside. I see them setting up.
And you went and hit someone.
And someone, like cut us off. And we didn't like, there was no impact. But the cake, let's just say that she had, like, 1.5 tiers.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, 1.5 tiers. And I had to go. And, like, we salvaged the rest of it. But what was on display was 1.5 tiers. So, we took extra buttercream. You take whatever color fondant for the decorations. But never make just however many you need. Because that's foolish, because it will break. If you only make what you need, there will be a problem. But if you don't and you make extra, then you usually never have a problem. So, yeah, and then we repaired it, and she was like, oh, my God. We end up staying at the wedding.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Crisis averted.
Yeah, crisis averted.
So do you actually?
Now I do her twins cakes, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you make your batters, do you actually make the batter from scratch?
Yes.
So you actually sift the flour and you do the everything.
Don't sift flour. That's we have ways now. Where there's a whisk, there's a way. Where there's a whisk, there's a way. If you use a balloon whisk, you don't have to sift.
Okay. Yeah. So you just mix it up and it airs it.
Yep. It aerates it, and then we baking soda, baking powder, eggs.
Really?
Yep.
So you make, and then creaming. If it's chocolate, what's your most common cake flavor?
A lot of people want like vanilla. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's boring.
Yeah. I'm like, but
it's like
I
the
like
least common denominator.
I like to make things like matcha green tea cakes like a banana cake.
Oh, that's
you know, like made with bananas.
How about liquor? You ever putting liquor in it?
Yes, yes. So when you bake in with liquor, it can sometimes turn funny. Mm-hmm. So what I like to do is infuse it afterward by creating simple syrups and injecting that into something that pairs very well. So what I'm working on now is like an old-fashioned cake.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah, because I'm old-fashioned.
But you know, when you do that, though, they still got an alcohol content to it, doesn't it?
They do. And see, I mean, it is what I can cook it down, but I mean, who doesn't like boozy cakes, right?
Yeah. Boozy. So when you're doing
it's
your
a fun Friday night,
when you're doing your croissant, you're actually making the dough,
folding
the butter in it. Putting in a refrigerator, bringing out the next day, folding the butt. Am I right?
Yeah. So you have to laminate it. It's like a 240.
It's like 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's croissants? A 2 day process because you want to make sure that it's cold. You got like, if we don't do old school where we're like pounding out.
That's
butter
how
anymore.
I was taught.
That's old school, and you're old school.
I'm very old school.
Yeah,
we didn't even
guy.
Use a bowling pin. We just used our forearm.
Oh, my God. No,
I'm just kidding.
That's funny.
So tell us some of your travels.
Yeah. Okay. So, one of my favorite places to travel. So I've been to maybe 45 of the states.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where I'm teaching and traveling. And then I've been to Canada a lot, which I love. We film a lot in Canada.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. It's usually like Ontario or Toronto.
Is it nice up there?
It is. It's really nice. Even when it's like below zero. It's still really beautiful. It just feels peaceful and serene.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Niagara Falls?
I didn't go to Niagara Falls. You know, I schedule my travel based off of like workations so that I can like offset it.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you.
No, that's true. You know? That's a good strategy.
So, and then I've been to like the UK, which was like phenomenal. First of all, note to everybody, if you go to the UK, don't take your Discover card because it doesn't work there.
Oh. And what were you doing in the UK?
Oh my goodness. I was there. I got the opportunity to go work with Cake Masters magazine, and wow. Yeah. There is a convention there. It's the largest. Oh my goodness! Why I can't remember the name of the show, but it's the largest cake show that's there. That happens at the NEC in the Birmingham. It's called Cake International, mm-hmm. And there's about 1,500 people who enter, and they come from around the world. And there's about 1,500 like exhibitors too.
Yeah.
But we were hosting the Cake Masters Awards, essentially giving out prizes for the best cake artists in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, with Cake Masters magazine, and it was amazing.
And the food's different there.
The food is so different.
I don't know. I don't want to say cleaner, but it is different. Like when you drink a lemonade, it's just totally different.
Yeah, it tastes like lemons. It's real.
It's different out. And I've been to Greece and stuff. It's like. Yeah. You know, when you eat things with cream or you eat pie, everything's a little. It's like the tomato sauce isn't like red; it's kind of orange.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different out there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, a lot of those sugary cereals and stuff is banned out there too. Mm-hmm. And like the large coffee, when I got there, I was like, "Can I have a large coffee?" Oh, I was in Germany, and I was like, "Can I have a large coffee?" And they hand me like this, like 6 ounce coffee, and I'm like,
"That's
oh no, I'm so sorry." I was like, "I want a large."
Don't you like, see how big I am?
Yeah, I'm like this. I'm like, well, what's the small? And I'm like, that's like 2 ounces. So I was like, well, can I have 3 large coffees?
Give me 3 of those regular sized coffees.
Believe it or not, chef, we only got like a couple minutes left.
Word.
Yeah, we blew through an hour really, really quick.
I love it.
So why don't you give everyone a taste of what they're going to see at Steel City Bakery, because that is really your new venture.
Yeah.
It's
and
big news.
The date and the address, and we're going to have you on for that, too.
Thank you so
much. Because I love bread.
Yes, I'm super excited about it. Yeah, so I'm super excited. This fall, right around October, we'll be opening up Steel City Bakery in the Miller Beach, Gary, Indiana area. The address is still pending from 824 to 850 Lake Street, just mm-hmm. because... I don't know where the door is going to end up at. But we will be a full-scale bakery. We're going to be offering cupcakes, cookies, ice cream, gelato style.
That's really
ice cream.
Good. Nice. That's really good. That's cool.
Is it eat-in?
Yeah. Definitely dine in. When you come in, it's going to be an immersive experience, right? I almost want to create this cake like museum and cake mm-hmm. gallery that you're walking into to showcase some of the artwork that's there.
Plus, you're going to be doing cooking classes.
We are. We're going to be doing cooking classes in the back of the house, teaching you how to decorate and create these same types of cakes. Maybe on the days that we're closed, we might do birthday parties. But yeah, we'll have croissants. We'll have other.
How about some baklava?
We'll make you some special.
I can come by.
Oh, you're gonna make it now.
Oh, I know by.
Oh,
or maybe we'll make you something that looks like baklava.
Yeah. Look,
that looks like baklava.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Or some galakta buruko. Would you like to make that?
I would love some of that, but I don't know how to make that.
Maybe one day I'll show you. I know it like the back of my hand.
Come on, let's do it.
You know how it is. I used to go out to Miller Beach and pick grape leaves so we can stuff them when I was a kid.
Get up out of here.
Yeah. So Blake, we got about a minute. Just tell us something we didn't touch upon that you want to stress.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening, you're wondering, hey, should I go and pursue my dreams? Or, hey, if you're trying to figure out a way to come and, like, work for me, if you don't have experience, then just hit me up. I actually prefer you that way so I can mm-hmm. inject all of my knowledge. If you're interested in learning about stuff that I do, check me out. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Food Network. Discovery Plus. I made a cake for like Lady Gaga.
Oh, really?
Lady Gaga. Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool.
It's on my social media. Yeah, she's like almost 6 feet. She's like 5'9".
Oh, I didn't. I would have thought she was short.
Really?
Yeah. She's like 5'9" or something like that. But her heels make her taller. Definitely support. Always keep pushing for your dream and understand that, you know, for us, where there's a whisk, there is a way.
I like that. Where there's a whisk, there is a way.
Cool.
Well, Sharon, we just
flew by.
And I want to thank you again, Chef Blake Shelton,
thank you.
From Black Rose Pastries, which, you know, we're going to talk about more and coming up is the Steel City Bakery. I think that's going to be very exciting. I think it's going to be great for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be great for young people. And I think it's going to be great for our palates.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think we're going to eat a lot of pastries out there. So, again, I want to thank Blake Shelton from Black Rose Pastries for stopping in, and I encourage everyone to be looking out for Steel City Bakery to be opening up in the Miller area. Hey, everyone, try to stay dry. Put your galoshes on. Put up an umbrella. Stay safe. Yasu.